So, regarding the question whether we can invite as celebrities people who may have given speculative interpretation of scriptures through novels or something like that. Now, there are two broad understanding, broad points to consider over here. First is that if we expect to invite only those people who will have opinions exactly as we have, we will have only devotees and we will never be able to. So we will never be able to invite anyone if we have that rigid standard. So it is fine to invite people even if they have opinions which are different from ours. But the important thing is that we don't want them to voice those opinions in our forums. So for example, now we may invite a politician. Even Narendra Modi is quite favorable to much more favorable to Swami Vivekananda than to the personalist Vaishnav understanding. But it will be a privilege for ISKCON if he comes for ISKCON program. We can invite him. So his fame primarily comes from some other field. He's a politician. George Harrison's fame came from his music. Now he may also not accept Krishna's conception as we exactly accept it. That is okay. But when he comes to Krishna, comes to a program where Prabhupada is coming, he will speak something appreciative of Prabhupada. He may speak something appreciative about Hare Krishna mantra, which is good. Now Radhanath Maharaj had invited for one of Radhanath Maharaj's program, Chetan Bhagat had been invited. That is a program for I think an AIDS awareness or something like that. So he spoke something, Maharaj spoke something, which is fine. Now all these people have their authority or fame coming from some field which is not exactly devotional. Which is not at all devotional, in fact. It's a completely secular field. It may be politics, it may be novels about Indian issues, whatever. Or even somebody may be a film actress, then actor or actress, then her fame is coming from Bollywood. Now, in contrast, if someone is an authority or is considered to be an authority in the field in which we are teaching. So, for example, if somebody is considered to be a Bhagavad Gita scholar, and that person in a very scholarly way is going to give a impersonalist interpretation of the Bhagavad Gita. And if he does that in our forum, that will become a problem. So now, in the case of some novelist who has written about what he considers Indian mythology, and that also has written in a speculative way, so at that time, in one sense, we could say that we are lending our credibility to his interpretations. Whereas that won't happen if we are calling a politician or a journalist or a actor. They have their own credibility, and their coming to ISKCON doesn't make them more credible in the eyes of the world. But in our inviting these kind of scholars, those who have given their own interpretation of scripture for a program, that means that we are to some extent endorsing that yes, they are authorities in their field, and we don't have to necessarily deny that, but do we have to endorse them? And if they are themselves specialized in a particular field, then they may end up speaking certain things which are contrary to our philosophy over there. And that may become a little bit of a problem. So sometimes when, say, we have people invited for Radhanath Maharaj's book launch, at that time they may be influential people, and they may speak a few things which are not exactly according to philosophy, which is fine. But if they are going to speak something that is directly contradictory, then it may become a problem. For example, even if some mythologists say that Krishna is one of the most powerful myths in Indian history, which is okay. The word myth can have a negative connotation as non-historical, or the word myth can also have a significance as a meaning of culturally significant person. So the myth of Gandhi, the myth of Nehru, it's not necessarily in a negative sense only. But suppose that person goes forward and says, actually, there is no, Krishna never existed historically, or Krishna never did any of the things which are ascribed to him, then that will become a problem. So while inviting people like this, we have to be a little careful to give them a topic to speak where they won't have to, where their likelihood of speaking things which are contrary to devotional philosophy are less. So for example, if we call a Bhagavad Gita scholar and then we ask him to speak on the Bhagavad Gita, and then that person may very well, it's quite probable that the person may interpret it in an impersonalist way, because that's what he is known for. So now, again, so the one consideration is whether we can give them a topic which will not intersect with our philosophical understanding, if we are inviting them at all. And second consideration is, if we are inviting them, then are we giving them, how much is their credibility in the secular world, and are they really going to enhance, is their presence going to enhance our program substantially? So for example, if there is a forum of scholars or devotees who are scholarly inclined, and they are invited, and then ISKCON organizes a conference where say, if ISKCON organizes a conference on science and spirituality, and then there are different scientists who are going to come and speak, and then the devotee scientists are also going to speak. Now for such a conference, if any and every devotee goes and as participate in the audience, there are different scientists who are going to come and speak, and they are not going to speak according to our philosophy. They may sometimes say that, you know, God exists, but we should not use the design argument, because the design argument is basically a God of the gaps argument. So some of our devotees from Calcutta had gone for a BI conference, organized by BI Calcutta, and they felt that, you know, what the devotee spoke was okay. Devotees basically, but what the other scientists spoke, that seemed more scientifically sound, and that was quite different from the understanding which we have. So then we need to have a very, for these sort of conferences where multiple views are going to be expressed, we need to have sufficiently mature and intellectually sharp devotees. They should be in the audience. So in that case, if you are inviting a scholar for some kind of scholarly interaction in the conference, that is fine. But if it is a public program where the general community of devotees and the general people are coming, then having a person who may be speaking something which is... So if that person just attracts more people to come for the program, and then that person is not such a great speaker, and a person is not likely to speak something contradictory to our philosophy, then that is fine. But if that person is known to be a very powerful speaker, and that person is the main attraction for which people are coming to our program, and then rather than it being our program, it becomes that person's program, and we become simply an instrument for that person to give his or her message. So we'll have to consider all these factors and then make a decision. So if we can give a topic which will not intersect with the devotional, with the philosophy directly, and that person is not likely to speak anything sharply contradictory to our positions, so we will have to actually probably look at some of the recent speeches that the person has given, and some of the recent programs and the recent speeches, and accordingly choose a topic and then decide whether to invite such a person or not.